Very important, finally got a little bit of, momentum coming back here from Seattle. Back at home, division, can put some space in between us and them, and the, obviously take a look and see where, Jacksonville and Houston are. But, these games are difficult. These games are tough against Indianapolis, and give them a lot of credit. But I felt like our guys were, better in the end.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel, Titans Monday. That's right, Reaction Monday presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Titans beat the Indianapolis Colts yesterday. We are live today at the Boat Hotel downtown, so we'll be telling the people here at some point why we're here. We're very excited to be here today.
Happy to be here.
Caroline Fenton is here. Ian is here. Okay, I want to start. By the way, we are streaming on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube presented by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. I want to start on this today, and that is that there is a little angel above me, and I can just hear the angel today. Because I'm going to ask this question. Were you impressed by the Titans win yesterday?
Nope.
Ian, were you impressed by the Titans win yesterday?
Not overly, no.
So there is an angel above me. I don't know who, but it sounds a lot like this. In fact, I wrote it down because this is exactly how I kind of felt about it. Because yesterday's game, I wasn't all that impressed with. But I hear an angel saying, quote, "This is the NFL, and you," talking about me, "have never won in the NFL, so you don't know how hard it is to win in the NFL. It's harder than anything you've ever done in your life. So regardless of what happened, I am never going to be upset with a win." Does that sound like something that we would hear, Ian?
Pretty spot on.
Okay. So let's say this. A win's a win. A win against the Colts is a win against the Colts. And that in and of itself, before we get to anything else, has got to be addressed, that the Titans, in spite of the fact at times I felt like they were doing things to hurt their chances of winning, I didn't think they really, outside of Derrick Henry, played very well. The Titans did win yesterday. And they are 2-1, and the Colts are 0-3, and the rest of the division is an unmitigated disaster, and they have a better record than the Kansas City Chiefs, for whatever you want to make of that, and that's good. Now, everything else. My reaction to yesterday's game, which was, the reason you won is because you had Derrick Henry and the other team did not. The other team, the Indianapolis Colts, are not a good football team. And this isn't just about the quarterback, which everybody's going to make this out to be. The fact that Wentz was so clearly, they said 70%, he was 40%, maybe. And I don't even think Wentz is that good. But Indy is not a good football team. And then you take out Quentin Nelson, and you take out their right tackle, Braden Smith, and you take out T.Y. Hilton, who's on IR, and factor in Wentz's injury, and all of a sudden, like, you look at the Colts, they're horrible. I mean, they're 0-3. And they've had a harder schedule than they started off with, say, last year. But they're every bit of 0-3. But I was so disappointed at times in the Tennessee Titans yesterday. Again, acknowledging that they won, and that's all that matters. But there is a lot to be worried about. First of all, the injuries just keep piling up for the Titans. Yesterday, A.J. Brown immediately gets hurt with a hamstring and has to go out. But ultimately, I thought the Titans played an incredibly sloppy game yesterday. Paul Kaharski asked Vrabel, and he asked Tannehill, and he asked and was trying to do it like in the nice way, but kind of asked during the week, like, why do the Titans have such a hard time in games that they should win or games that they should dominate of getting themselves up and ready to play? And I thought yesterday was a prime example of that. That game could have been 21-0 going to the half. Instead, it was 14-13. Because the Titans just stuck their heads up their rear ends once they realized they were better than Indianapolis. I mean, there was a lot to not like. Because, as I said, that is a bad team that you played yesterday, regardless of whether or not the Colts end up a bad team. What they were yesterday was a bad football team. If that was the Arizona Cardinals from 2 weeks ago, instead of the Indianapolis Colts yesterday, they probably hammer you. So while I'm glad they won, and I'm glad they're 2-1, and I'm glad that Derrick Henry's maybe the best player in the league right now, there are a lot of things that are really starting to pile up with me. And as I listen today to the morning show and to Darren Donick and Chase and to things of that magnitude, I think some people are kind of missing it, right? Like, I think some people were talking about, hey, A.J. Brown and Julio Jones went down yesterday, and Nick Westbrook Akina and Chester Rogers stepped up. Did they? Chester Rogers dropped a ball that went into the air for an interception. Nick Westbrook Akina fumbled the ball inside the 10-yard line. You can't win in the NFL with that. Now, you can beat that team yesterday, and maybe you can beat the Jets and the Jags. But when we talk about the Titans, we're excited about the fact that they won yesterday in the 2-1 record because we expect the Titans to be competitors to get to a Super Bowl out of the AFC. And you're not getting to the Super Bowl being -3 in turnovers yesterday. I thought Ryan Tannehill's performance yesterday was embarrassing for him. The interception that he threw in the middle of the field yesterday was a pass that high school quarterbacks know not to make. And people would say, well, McNichols and Hudson ran to the wrong, both ran to the same spot, and Tannehill didn't. And you know what you do when you're an NFL quarterback when that happens? You throw the ball away. And instead, Tannehill, and you could tell Tannehill didn't want to throw that football because he's standing there, and you could tell he's totally confused. Like, he panicked with the ball in the pocket. He pump fakes it like, I don't know. And then he throws it right into the arms of the Indianapolis defense. That's what rookies who are picked in the 5th round and are forced into action and are down by 21 points in a fourth quarter, that's what they do. That's not what $30 million franchise quarterbacks do. Now, Tannehill played hard yesterday, had some nice runs. He won't slide, which is another point of emphasis that's going to drive me crazy today. But I'm listening to our morning show, and I'm listening to Joe Retro talk about Tannehill was just excellent yesterday. He was the key to winning the game. Tannehill was this. Tannehill was... I looked at Tannehill yesterday, and I said, dude, that's the kind of football that's going to get you beat. There was one where he was in the process of getting sacked, and he just threw it away, and it landed at the feet of Jeremy McNichols, but he lofted it to get rid of it. That very easily could have been intercepted. And those are balls high school kids don't throw. And Tannehill threw two of them yesterday. They dropped the ball. They fumbled the ball. Their tackling was not very good yesterday. This was not a good performance from the Tennessee Titans. And I will say, again, I know they won. And I'm glad they won. And we know, especially when it comes to the Colts, we know what the alternative is. But I'm having a hard time looking at yesterday's game and looking at a Colt team that walked into Nissan Stadium and thought, you know what, maybe we got a shot. Like, maybe we can compete. Maybe we can do this. And in the first 10 minutes of the game, they knew they were completely, completely outmanned. They knew it. All you had to do, if you're the Titans, was take that, well, I think it was 7-0 when Tannehill threw the interception. If you get up big early on Indianapolis, they're going to pack it in. They would have taken Wentz out of the game. He was a mess out there yesterday. And I looked at the Titans, and we talked about it on Friday. And I said, I want to see the killer instinct from the Tennessee Titans. And we didn't see it yesterday. We saw it from one guy, and he wears number 22. And again, you won yesterday. I cannot hammer this home enough. You beat a bad Indianapolis Colts team yesterday. Again, the Colts may win every game the rest of the season and go on to the playoffs, and they'll be a different team when they get Braden Smith back and Quentin Nelson, if he comes back, and Wentz, and they may be a better team. But the team you played yesterday was not a good team. And the way you played, they hung around in that game, just hung around way longer than they should have. And I keep looking at the Titans, and I keep thinking, you know what they are? They're the kind of team that's going to play up to their competition, and they're going to play down to their competition. And they did it yesterday. And if it doesn't get corrected early in the season and it becomes a trend as to, hey, this is who they are, then you will see what you saw last year, which was a team that can beat all of the bad teams, but then when the Cleveland Browns roll in here, they're going to hang 40 on you. When it's Sunday night football in Green Bay, they're going to embarrass you. And I thought we saw a lot of that yesterday. Now, there were some good things. I mean, the defense looks much improved. Again, I mean, what can you take away from this Indianapolis Colts team on offense? But the defense does look much improved. They got some pass rushers. Ola Adeniyi is a pretty decent pass rusher. Harold Landry, I think, is playing a lot better. Christian Fulton looks like a number one corner right now. Again, it's early, but he did stop DK Metcalf last week, and I thought he was great this week. But the Tennessee Titans needed to show me more yesterday. And again, like the GM would have always said, a win is a win, and a win is a win against Indianapolis, and you are 2-1, and in October, November, December, which is how you get better throughout the course of the year. You know, the teams that get better in November and December are the teams that are usually playing in January. But for yesterday, I was disappointed. And it was the exact game that I expected. Remember, I told you, I thought 19-14 rock fight. You know, just ugly. Neither quarterback threw for over 200 yards. Derrick Henry, I thought Derrick Henry had like 160 yards. And I looked at it, oh, Derrick.
102.
Good day for Derrick.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, it was ugly yesterday, and it shouldn't have been ugly yesterday. And it has me feeling the exact same way I felt after three games last year, which was, I'm glad where they are at 2-1, but I'm not sure this is a very good football team. And I remember last year they beat Minnesota, last-second field goal. They beat Denver, who was a bad team last year. They beat Jacksonville, who was 1-15, and they beat Minnesota, who was also bad. And all those games came down to the wire, and everybody kept saying, we're 3-0, Jared, we're 3-0. And I'm like, you can't get a stop. And I'm looking at this team right now. I got to be honest with you. They're playing sloppy football. They played sloppy football against the Cardinals, and it got them beat. They played sloppy football against Seattle, and they played sloppy football yesterday. So I don't want to just go nuts, and I don't want to be the guy, you know, that I know that, you know, people get mad. Oh, yeah, you're this guy. But I'm not going to sit here today and tell you that Nick Westbrook-Ikhina played a great game when the guy fumbled the ball inside the 10-yard lines, because you can't win in the NFL if you do that. You can't win. Ryan Tannehill, trying not to get sacked, just lost the ball into the middle of the field at Jeremy McNichol's feet. And nobody's going to remember this play except for me, because nothing bad happened. But that's the kind of play. You do that against the Buffalo Bills, it's going the other way. And when you loft it like that, if it ends up going the other way, it's going into the end zone the other way. You know, Tannehill's turned the ball over 5 times in the first 3 games. Like, if you're trying to win with Ryan Tannehill, what you're saying is, hey, I know Tannehill's not going to throw for 400, 500 yards. I know he's not. But the thing about Tannehill is he will protect the football, and he will play smart, sound football, and he will do the things that it takes to win games, because that's how Ryan Tannehill does it. And yesterday, Ryan Tannehill just gifts the Colts back into the game with a ball just right over the middle into the hands of the linebacker. That was high school level stuff. He won't slide? That's great. Hey, I'm tough. Yeah, it's great when you're out 5 weeks because a linebacker who weighs 48 pounds more than you has a head of steam and drills you. And so I listened to Vrabel today at the press conference, and I think some of, like, he was bothered, and I think some of it was the fact, you know, that he knew he was going to be peppered with all this Julio Jones talk and everything else, and not sure I completely buy what Vrabel said today, which we'll get to. But he knew he was going to be peppered with that. I think part of the reason why Vrabel was in a bad mood today was because he didn't think they played very well. Like, again, I thought it was sloppy. I thought it was playing down to your competition. And if the Titans are going to be as good as we want the Titans to be, you're not going to play sloppy and win games in the NFL. So I'm glad they won. I am. And I'm glad where they are in the division. And I think it would have been just a catastrophic, unmitigated nightmare had they lost yesterday to Indianapolis. I really do. But they did win. And so I don't want people to forget that they did win, because we all know how the GM would have felt. You know, we all know how he would have, you know, we all know how he would have felt had they won. And, you know, at the end it would have been, hey, it's hard to win in the NFL, and it is hard to win in the NFL, and it's a game against the Colts, and they haven't been so fortunate in games in the past against the Colts, but I don't feel good about yesterday's win. I don't. At no point watching the game yesterday did I feel good about what I saw outside of Derrick Henry. I thought Derrick Henry played a great football game again. I thought Indianapolis had committed every resource they had to stopping Derrick Henry, which is a lot easier to do when A.J. Brown and Julio Jones are out of the game. But this team, the way they play up and down to their competition, I'm worried about the Jets on Sunday. I mean, I'm worried about going on the road to an 0-3 New York team and you playing down to your competition. So, again, they won. 615-737-1025. Calls and texts. We'll get to your reaction. 615-737-1025. We'll get to Caroline's reaction. We'll get to Ian's reaction as well. 615-737-1025. We are live from the Bode Hotel here downtown Nashville on a Reaction Monday. Reaction Monday presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. And let me tell everybody that here at the Bode, it's only a 15-minute walk from Nissan Stadium, and it's a perfect place to book for a Titans game, Predators game, or anything downtown. The Bode has plenty of rooming options from one bedroom to four bedrooms with a full living and kitchen. So I think that's pretty cool, too. Stillman & Company, we are delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What is it about this team that you seem to, in those tight situations, always seem to pull it out?
Yeah, I mean, most games in the NFL come down to the fourth quarter. That's just the reality is it's a very competitive league, and most games are going to come down to the fourth quarter. So we have to find a way and believe that we can find a way to win those tough games, whether we're behind trying to go get the go-ahead score, or today where we're, you know, ahead trying to tack on points and make it a two-score game again. So a lot of confidence in each other. We talk about it. We realize these games are going to be tough battles, and finishing is huge, right? Finishing every play, finishing the game. So it's something that's a pillar of our program, and we believe in it.
There you go. That was Ryan Tannehill yesterday. Where there's a will, there's a way. Tannehill found a way. I just can't. I can't do the, you know, hey, in the NFL, games are close, and they're all hard fought, and that's how the NFL works, and that's how. I can't do that today. I can't speak to why Baltimore was in a dogfight yesterday with Detroit, and it took just beyond generous officiating and the greatest kick in NFL history, which should have never happened, in order for the Ravens to beat the Lions. I can't tell you why it happened. I didn't watch it. I don't cover those teams. Titans should have blown out the Colts yesterday. And I know, a win's a win. And in December, when they're handing out hats and T-shirts, will we remember that the Titans didn't play well? I don't know. But here on this Reaction Monday, presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, live from the Bode Hotel, I am not happy with how the Tennessee Titans played yesterday. I don't think you should be happy with how the Tennessee Titans played yesterday. I don't think they should be happy with how they played yesterday. And how I felt about Vrabel's comments today, I don't think he's happy with how they played. Caroline Fenton, your reaction.
I think there's two ways to look at it, and you can really look at this game through both lenses. I think there's kind of an optimistic and a realistic way of looking at the game yesterday. An optimistic way of looking at it is saying, hey, your team is only as good as the bottom of the roster. So Nick Westbrook, Akina, Jeremy McNichols, Ola Denny, guys who are not traditional starters, first-team guys going out there and making a difference, scoring touchdowns, getting points on the board. That is encouraging. Ola Denny had a great game yesterday.
Ola Denny's not a bad player.
He was a standout
at training camp that you just kept noticing. And I remember, like, the first day of training camp, and he was just blowing by Kendall Lamb. And I was like, well, I don't think Kendall Lamb's going to be the right tackle this year. And in hindsight, you know, I think that was a pretty good sign that Ola Denny's actually pretty good and that Kendall Lamb's pretty bad. But, yes, I thought he played well. See, here's where I jump off, though.
But
when you brought up Westbrook Akina,
he fumbled the ball.
You cannot
win
in the
touchdown.
NFL doing that.
No. And I think that's where the other element of it comes in, because you can say we've seen encouraging performances from, you know, not your first team guys. They were the ones who were able to get that win yesterday. The Titans are 2-1. They're first in the AFC South. They're three games ahead of Indianapolis. Those are all things that are very realistic things to be excited about. But I think there are also so many things to be discouraged about with this Titans team. The fact that Chester Rogers, Nick Westbrook, Akina, and Jeremy McNichols were the guys that got the game done yesterday. That Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, of course, goes down with an injury, and Julio Jones is able to contribute on some big throws, set up a couple touchdowns. But they aren't the guys getting it done. Your guys on your first team, the guys that you have hyped up this entire offense, the guys that you are paying millions and millions of dollars, are not the ones that are winning this game for you. You mentioned Ryan Tannehill. He had some great runs. Slide, Ryan. Ryan. This team is counting on you. I don't necessarily want to see a backup quarterback go in for the Titans, so just learn how to slide. And sloppy mistakes. Two interceptions from Ryan Tannehill yesterday. I think the defense looks encouraging, but overall, I think that I still have so many question marks about this Titans team that I just haven't been able to answer so far this season.
Oh, my goodness. I thought Tannehill yesterday, and I mean, you all know me. Like, I love Tannehill. I do. I think Tannehill, I was listening last week, you know, I was getting all sentimental and listening to old Jaron the GM podcast, and was listening to the one after the Buccaneers game, which was his second start 2 years ago. And I was just like, I know the numbers weren't good for Tannehill, but I love Tannehill. I thought Tannehill was this, and I thought Tannehill, I thought Tannehill was awful yesterday. And I thought Tannehill was, and again, I thought the Titans played like they knew they were better than the Colts. And I don't like teams that haven't won anything acting like that. You know, just like, oh, yeah, we're better than them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that caught up with them. I mean, you're not beating. I keep looking at these games. You're not beating anybody in the NFL. Anybody good with Nick Westbrook-Ikhina and Chester Rogers. Especially when everybody's like, to your point, you're like, hey, you got it done with Chester Rogers and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. And both of them screwed up yesterday.
And also, how far can you get with Nick Westbrook-Ikhina and Chester Rogers leading this team? Because, yeah, you got to win. You're 2-1, first in the AFC South. That is encouraging. But you also have the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs and the Los Angeles Rams on your schedule. Is Nick Westbrook-Ikhina going to be able to score against the Los Angeles Rams? I don't know. Maybe.
But if Ryan Tannehill throws the ball in the middle of the field right to the other team, you're not going to beat any of those teams.
Exactly.
And that's where I guess the question I'm having, am I being too hard today? Am I being too hard on the Titans today? Ian, am I being too hard?
I would say a tad, yes.
You think I'm being too hard?
I think that there are some positive takeaways from yesterday's game. It wasn't all bad.
No, I mean, Derrick Henry, you have maybe the best player in the NFL. Like, there is no doubt in my mind that Derrick Henry is, if not the best player. Now, some people will weight quarterbacks more than any other position, and they'll probably, you know, undervalue running backs. And, like, Aaron Donald's a great player, and there's a lot of great players in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Henry may be the best player in the game. And I thought Derrick Henry yesterday was every bit of that. And, you know, I know he didn't break one. There were a couple I thought he was about to pop. And I thought those yards, you know, Indy was not going to let Derrick Henry win the game.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I think he kind of did, Indy was not going to let him win the game.
Why do you think he did?
Why do you think he did what?
Why do you think that Derrick Henry was the one who won the game with the Titans yesterday?
Because every time that everybody in the stadium knew he was getting the ball and he got the ball, he ended up making a positive play. Even in the passing game, he made positive plays. I mean, I don't know. He's the one guy yesterday who at no point puts you at a disadvantage. Ryan Tannehill put you at a disadvantage yesterday. I mean, that one throw to McNichols, and I, you know, Ian's probably right. I'm probably being a little too hard today on the Titans. That throw to McNichols that Tannehill, and I promise you, most of the people who are listening to this probably don't even know what I'm talking about, but it was a throwaway on a second or a third down where Tannehill was, the pocket collapses. He doesn't know what to do with the ball, and so he's just trying to get it out so that the ball, you know, so that, you know, they don't lose the yardage, and he just floats one in the air, and it falls right in front of McNichols. And I'm like, that throw gets you beat in the NFL because somebody picks that up. At some point, somebody's going to fall right into the arms of somebody who's a linebacker, and they're running back to the house with it. And you got to make better decisions with the football, and you got to live to play another down. And this is, you know, Tannehill, I think a lot of it, too, I'm just disappointed in Tannehill. I'm just really disappointed in Ryan Tannehill's decision-making so far this season. I thought Tannehill had a good game against Seattle. He didn't even throw a touchdown pass in the game against Seattle. And I mean, the Arizona game, I thought Tannehill made some bad mistakes, some that Arizona didn't even take advantage of. And I thought yesterday Tannehill made a bunch of mistakes. And you cannot – Ryan Tannehill is not good enough to make mistakes in the NFL and for you to beat quality teams. Ryan Tannehill – what makes Ryan Tannehill a good quarterback is that he does not make mistakes. And yesterday, like I said, he had two passes yesterday that high schoolers know not to make. Him not sliding, you know, like those things, they just drive me crazy. Just drive me crazy. I thought defensively, they played pretty well. I mean, didn't most of Indy's points yesterday come off turnovers other than that field goal they kicked right to start in the second half?
10 points off of Ryan Tannehill's interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, so 10 of those, and...
And I do have to give the defense credit. They got off the field on third down. I think they limited Indy to maybe 3 of 12 down conversions.
They got off the field on third down. But this goes back to, like, if we're talking about playing a quality team in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And with the, you know, with the...
I mean, are you going to do that against Tampa Bay?
Right, like with the bubble dome of, yes, Floyd, we know that they won the game, and there is nothing harder in the history of the world than winning a game in the NFL. That, like, you know, if it's, you know, building a rocket ship or winning in the NFL, we know.
Winning in the NFL
is the hardest thing, and it's not even close. Other than that, though, like, to my point about the mistakes they made, you gave up 10 points, right? Off, mm-hmm. Just straight up off of turnovers. Then you gave up what should have been 7, but at least 3 on Nick Westbrook-Akina fumbling the football. You probably gave up your own 3 points that you should have had when Rodgers' ball went in the air. So now that's 6, mm-hmm. as opposed to what was originally 3. You can't give teams opportunities in the NFL and expect to win. And we talked about this in the Seattle game and about all the things that we felt like they gave Seattle. And look, football's not going to be perfect. The Titans aren't going to, you know, not make mistakes. But like when Derrick Henry fumbles the football, Derrick can make up for that. Nick Westbrook-Akina cannot. A.J. Brown, when he drops a pass, he can make up for that. Chester Rogers cannot. And those are the things that, you know, hey, you beat a minor league team yesterday, which is what the Colts looked like. That Colts team that they put on the field yesterday is like a 3-win football team. Now, that may be the second best team in the division because, you know, the division is a disaster.
Yeah, that's not really saying much.
But, I mean, I am open to the idea, though, that I'm a little too harsh on the Titans. And what's funny is I had predicted all week that I thought this was going to be, you know, a closer game and, it was going to be ugly and a rock fight. I can't believe Frank Reich put Carson Wentz out on the field yesterday.
It was so shocking to me because, I mean, we talked about it so much last week, but you have to weigh your pros and cons. You know, are you going to put Carson Wentz out there in a game that you may or may not win? You know, this is pregame. I was so shocked because I thought, okay, hold Carson Wentz off one more week. Make sure he's healthy. Don't injure his ankles any further. And what they do, they put Carson Wentz out there and they still lost. And I don't know what the status is with his ankle. I don't know if it's better or worse. I can't imagine that it's better after playing 4 quarters of football and getting beaten up. But to your point, I was shocked.
Awful. And those receivers they have suck. Like, maybe Pittman's okay.
Pittman's okay.
But those
T.Y. That team, Hilton.
That team. Well, he's hurt. But yeah. That team. That Indy. They suck. Like, that team yesterday. And I know Indy was supposed to be different, and the injury bug has hit them like a ton of bricks. Mm-hmm. That team sucks. That Indy team yesterday. They're awful. Awful. Hey, you got the Jets and the Jags, so who knows? 615-737-1025. We're right to your phones next. We'll do calls, then we'll do texts. And I'm sure everybody else is a lot more peachy yesterday. And yes, I know a win is a win. But get your calls in because, again, we'll go right to the phones next. 615-737-1025 on Reaction Monday. Reaction Monday powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. We are live from the Bode Hotel downtown here on Stillman & Company. Let me tell you about my friends at Edmunds. Buying a car can be overwhelming, especially now that demand is back and in full swing. Lucky for you, Edmunds has been taking the stress out of car shopping for over 50 years. Edmunds editors drive over 500,000 miles every year, testing thousands of hours of hundreds of new vehicles. They'd review almost every car on the market and rank the best ones in each category so you can narrow your search and compare options side by side to find the best vehicle for you. When you're ready, Edmunds makes it easy to find options in your area with accurate price estimates. They've got helpful filters so you can search for color, model, special features, engine drive, engine type, drivetrain, price, distance, and more, and they even show you dealerships that are offering home delivery. Edmunds is here to guide you to your perfect vehicle. Visit Edmunds.com to see their best car rankings and search for vehicles near you. That's EDMUNDS.com. For cars, there's Edmunds.
Tannehill. There's Westbrook-Akina at the 5. Touchdown! First NFL touchdown for Nick Westbrook-Akina.
And Westbrook-Akina, a little Billy White Shoes dance there at the end of his touchdown reception.
I mean, whether it's Dane going in there for the first time, Elijah Molden playing, Ola, you know, Torrey Carter got his first action, you know, just some guys that maybe you hadn't heard of and that aren't household names, but guys that we have confidence in. They're on the roster. We have confidence in them that they can and go out there and do their job and execute and help us win. And that's gonna be from now until, you know, certainly the end of this season. As long as, you know, we're here, we're going to believe in that because it's what happens. It's a long season. Things come up. Things happen. Guys are unavailable. Then all of a sudden, you know, they're back in and then they're down. So everybody just has to be ready to go and be able to understand the game plan and what's going to be asked of them.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel talking about yesterday. Hey, guys had to fill in. Guys had to step up. It'd be very easy to paint a very rosy picture about, hey, look at all these guys you've never heard of that came up with big plays, and Dane Cruikshank, and he brought it up right there. I did promise phones, and phones we will go to. I do want to tell the folks that we are live today at the Bode Hotel. So come on out and say hey as we are here. Located at 401 2nd Avenue South in Sobro. Come hang out with us 2 to 6 in the courtyard of the Bode Hotel. Come hang out with your chance to win a pair of Preds tickets and a two-night stay at the Bode Nashville for an upcoming Predators game at Bridgestone Arena. So if you live like in Williamson County or something, or Rutherford County or whatever county, probably not a bad idea to get a two-night stay there. I do want to get out some game balls because this is a tradition that we've kind of gotten away from. We're allowed 3 game balls. Offense, Derrick Henry. I mean, I Derrick deserves his own category. So I'm going to go with the non-Derrick Henry category, if that's okay.
I think that's fair, because I think I know if you're going to give out a game ball, no matter what happens, I feel like you're going to give it to Derrick Henry.
Well, I think Derrick Henry deserves a game ball for you today. But David Questenberry, the right tackle. Questenberry was awesome. And, you know, the offensive line, like, the offensive line has its issues. I think every line in football, because you can't really practice hard anymore, I think every line in football is having its issues. Mm-hmm. The Titans are no different. I thought Questenberry was pretty impressive yesterday. Now, as somebody that I was sitting there saying, hey, he's not a right tackle. He's not an NFL starting right tackle. I thought Questenberry played well. Defensive game ball. This was hard because there were 3 guys that I thought were up for it. Legitimately, you could argue deserved the game ball on the defensive side. I went with Ola Adeniyi, but Christian Fulton, I think, played great.
Mm-hmm.
David Long Jr., I thought, played great. I think David Long Jr. has turned into a really solid player. But Ola Adeniyi, you know, is the shot in the arm they need. And I don't want to take away from Harold Landry, because Harold Landry
also
had a great game. Harold Landry had a great game. So, defense, I think, is tough. You know, where you want to give the game ball there. I'm giving it to Ola Adeniyi. You can give it whoever you want. Special teams, I'm going to give it to the kicker, because I didn't think anybody else played well. Bullock made all of his kicks, and around here, that is a big thing. So let's go to your phone, 615-737-1025. Phone lines driven on Reaction Monday, presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline, what do we have in the text line?
Cody texts in and says, 100% agree with you, and maybe you're not even being harsh enough. Racy McMath in the game instead of Julio in the fourth quarter. Firks are out, A.J. Brown out, Darrington Evans out, Caleb Farley out. Where is the team we've hyped all preseason?
So I think that's kind of an interesting thought, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because when you get mad at somebody, you don't get mad at people for being hurt. Now, I do get mad if you invest in hurt guys and then they get hurt.
You
right?
know what you're getting into.
Right. It's like if you date
Caleb Farley, for example.
Right. If you date somebody who is only single because they got divorced because they cheated on their spouse, like, you know there's a pretty good possibility that person's going to cheat on you.
Yeah.
Like, you have to know
They've
that.
Done it before. They'll do it again.
Right. Or at least it's not above them or beneath them.
Right.
To do that. And so, I look at the Colts, and they're an unmitigated disaster. And a lot of it is because Wentz is really not that good, but he's also not healthy. And I don't have any sympathy for that, because you knew what you were getting into. But somebody said to me, you know, somebody texted me and said, you know, that I would have been in full panic mode if I had known before the game that in order to score, they'd have to go to Chester Rogers, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, and Jeremy McNichols. You know, without A.J. Brown, like, people are going to, you know, he's sitting there saying, where's this team that we thought was going to be great on offense? And other people, I think the other side of that argument is, look at what they did without those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't hold the Titans accountable to playing great because they didn't have all those guys. And I think that's not where I'm getting mad. I'm getting mad in the mistakes. You know, I don't need Westbrook-Ikhina to be Julio Jones, and I don't need Chester Rogers to be A.J. Brown. But I need them to not fumble the football. And with Ryan Tannehill, it's like I said. I mean, I keep banging that drum on Tannehill today, and I'm not going to stop. I tweeted this out yesterday in the game. I think this is the most disappointed I have ever been at Ryan Tannehill as a Titan. Because he was careless yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Tannehill can't play carelessly. There are quarterbacks, you know, Johnny Gunslinger out there that can go out and throw over 450 and chuck the ball all over the yard and throw some interceptions, and Brett Favre can do that. Ryan Tannehill can't. It is the sloppiness and the carelessness that bothers me. More so than the score, more so than, you know, look at these guys that were in there that aren't supposed to be good players. Because I just don't think you can beat good teams in the NFL when your quarterback plays as carelessly as Ryan Tannehill did yesterday.
And I think that's the biggest takeaway and my response to anyone saying, well, the Titans won. What could you possibly be mad about?
Right.
Yes, the Titans did win, and they have now improved to 2-1, and that in itself is a good thing. But if you're going to look at the outlook of the rest of this season, it doesn't make you feel good after what you saw on Sunday. It doesn't make you feel good about the Titans' chances at making it potentially to a Super Bowl or making it deep into the playoffs and having a lot of noise surrounding this team, what we expected from this team going into the season, when you see them play against a depleted Colts team like that yesterday.
What else we got?
Logan texts in and says, Westbrook Akina made a key catch after the fumble later in that game. Remember, Tannehill made a poor throw that could have been picked or got Westbrook killed.
So I don't know what he's referring to on the one that could have gotten Westbrook Akina killed. I just know this. Points went off the board because Nick Westbrook Akina fumbled the football. And when you're a bottom of the roster guy, I'm not asking you to go out there and be Derek Mason.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you to not fumble the football. I got to say, by the way, I thought coaching yesterday was pretty – I mean, I have a thought on the coaching that I want to get to. Because there were some things that I literally – my mouth like just hit the floor yesterday with some of the things they did, including something that worked that I thought was just so dumb. So we'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. More of your reaction. Reaction Monday here on Stillman and Company. Ian, do I have anything that I need to tell the fine folks about on your end? Okay, let me tell you that ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in this Wednesday as Nashville SC takes on Orlando at Nissan Stadium. Pre-game starts at 7:15 and the match begins at 7:30. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I don't like the turnovers, but how nice is it to win a game where you do have three turnovers?
Almost impossible.
I would say almost impossible to be able to win that way. You know, we had a lot of contributions from guys that we normally, you know, that play for us but don't play, you know, quite as much. And so proud of that, but we have to take care of football. We got to find a way to turn the football over too. You know, that's another thing. It's hard to play, you know, that way. And they're playing well, and then third down and everything, they're playing hard. It's just hard to play defense with playing three games and getting one turnover.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel talking about turning the football over, and I love it. You know, like you try to ask like a happy question. Coach, you know, you win the game with three turnovers. How you impossible. Because you can't do that in the NFL.
You can't do it again and expect to win a game like
you
that.
You cannot do what the Titans did yesterday and win the NFL. And
they did, which is the good thing, but don't expect to see it again.
No. And again, maybe I'm being a little too hard. I promise your phones. I do want to say this. What did you think of Vrabel going for two yesterday?
I thought it could have been a Titans loss so easily. I thought that it was risky. I understood why he did it. I just would prefer to save going for two in a situation that you absolutely positively need to. Because if you miss that two-point conversion, Titans easily could have lost that game.
Ian, what did you think of Vrabel going for two?
Well, when I first saw it, I was kind of like,
no, don't go for two. Just kick it. Just kick it. Please, just kick it. And then when he made it, I was like, phew, good thing he made it.
I hated it.
I think it's like that. I felt exactly how about this entire game. Like, okay, yeah, you won. Like, you made the two-point conversion. I don't like how it happened. It wasn't pretty, but you got it, and you won the game. But I don't like it.
I hated it. Steven is up next here on Stillman & Company. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Steven.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say real quick, I felt like the benefits outweighed the negatives for going for two there. But I am shocked to hear you being hard on Tannehill today. I thought that man, him and Derrick Henry alone, willed this team to a win yesterday. And Tannehill had one bad pass, well, two, because I agree with you on the lob. But when he threw to, I believe it was McNichols there in the middle of the field, you see him throw the ball, there's two receivers there, Titans receivers, and they literally split, like, separate, like the Red Sea. And then there's Darius Leonard right behind both of them. Tannehill converted many first downs yesterday with his feet. He stayed in bounds at the end of the game to keep the clock rolling. He played pretty solid, in my opinion, with what he had. I don't like our third and fourth string receivers that much, but I really felt like he played very well. I feel like we're too hard on him. We don't go back and watch Derrick Henry miss holes all the time. He does miss holes sometimes. And I just feel like we're being too hard on Tannehill.
So here's where I'll disagree with you, and I appreciate your call. Derrick Henry last year fumbled the Texans back into a game that had no business being a game. You know, the Titans were about to ice it, and Derrick Henry fumbled, and Derrick Henry went on Taylor Lewan's podcast like 6 months later complaining about the fact that he fumbled that ball. But it allowed the Texans back into the game. But Derrick Henry had 150 yards in that game. Ryan Tannehill's turnover, the one in the middle of the field, literally allowed the Indianapolis Colts to believe they could win that game. If Tannehill doesn't throw that ball, like if he doesn't throw it, he takes the sack, he, you know, throws it at, right at McNichols' feet or Hudson's feet, but, you know, does not allow that ball to be intercepted, the Titans probably win somewhere in the neighborhood of 20-3 yesterday. You know, 24-3, 31-3. I mean, like, they really, Indy had no offense. Indy had no chance at an offense. They had nothing. Like, they had nothing.
Well, the Titans gifted the Colts 10 points.
Just gifted. Just
here on a silver platter. We feel bad. Here's 10 points.
And you cannot. That's how you lose to bad teams. And yesterday, I mean, I look, I'm with you. The third and fourth receivers, it's not going to do it for you in the NFL. Like, you can't win in the NFL doing that. I get it. But I just, you know, Tannehill's got to make better decisions. I should not be here. We should not be doing a pro and con with Tannehill, where it is, well, he did one good thing, and then he did one bad thing. Because, as I've mentioned several times, Ryan Tannehill is not a good enough player for you to be able to survive with that. It's like the guy in baseball who hits a bunch of home runs but strikes out a lot, too. Ryan Tannehill's not that guy. Ryan Tannehill is not a 350-yard, four-touchdown-a-game quarterback. He is an efficient quarterback. And when you hand the football to the other team or you throw the ball aimlessly in the middle of the field like he did yesterday, you're letting the other team into the game. When Logan Woodside's your backup quarterback and you don't slide, that's bad decision-making. I mean, even Vrabel was, like, Titan fans, and this one wasn't just the only one, but they were trying to almost defend Ryan Tannehill for that interception in the middle of the field, which I thought was indefensible.
That was bad.
I thought that interception in the middle of the field, if it were anybody else, would be benching type stuff. Like, if you threw that ball and you weren't my established $30 million a year quarterback, I'm taking you out of the game. Like, that's the kind of thing I see that. I'm like, out of the game. I listened to Vrabel talk about it today. Ian, do we have those? Oh, sorry about that. But, like, I listened to Vrabel talk about it today, and Vrabel was asked, you know, what did you think of Tannehill's interception or whatever? He's like, I didn't see it. What I told you yesterday. But Vrabel so didn't want to talk about it. First of all, you think Mike Vrabel hasn't seen it? You think Mike Vrabel doesn't watch the film of every play?
I'm sure he has studied it and could walk you through the exact play in through his head.
Floyd told me when he was general manager on a Monday, he would get into the office at 3 in the morning and would grade every player on every play of the entire game. So you're telling me that Mike Vrabel didn't watch the tape of a game-changing play, which I don't buy.
No.
But it was
he just didn't want to comment on it.
Right. He didn't want to talk about it because he is so – I think he is still so mad about it. That was the thing that got me when Tannehill threw the interception was like, I expect that out of bad players.
Mm-hmm.
I expect that out of reckless players. I expect that out of rookies that aren't any good. I don't expect that out of you. You know, that's not what – I do not expect that out of you. What else we got in the text line?
Cody texts in and says, why didn't you like the two-point conversion? You're either up by 7 and it's a one-score game, or you're up by 9 and it's a two-score game. I don't see the bat in that.
Because I want to make the Indianapolis Colts get the two-point conversion. I don't want to have to get it. I want to make the Colts get it.
That's kind of where I'm at. Is like, at the time, just go ahead and kick it. Because at this point, you can win the game if you just kick it. And you can also win the game with a two-point conversion, and obviously it gives you a little extra cushion. It just felt too risky for me.
It put the Colts. I mean, I understand what Vrabel did.
Yes, I get
and
it.
This
I get
goes
it.
Back to the Floyd clip like that we played last week when Vrabel faked a field goal against Tampa Bay 2 years ago, and Floyd said, like, it doesn't matter what I think and it doesn't matter what you think, but that he's gonna, if he thinks that one play can win the game, then he's going to make the one play no matter what. I do wonder if part of the reason why he went for two was because on the fourth and shorts, Indy was pushing the Titans' defensive line back about 4 yards, which, by the way, was another embarrassment in and of itself. Those fourth and shorts without Quentin Nelson in the game, can my defensive line get a little push for me? Like, just, you know, not trying to be rude, but can I get a little bit? And I wonder if Vrabel saw those pushes on those fourth and shorts and thought that if it's an eight-point game, they're going to convert it, so let me try
to go in front of it.
And then even if they score, they're going to kick. So if they kick, then it's a tie game no matter what. But I didn't like the decision. I just don't think that that's good football. I saw something last week. about the analytic revolution, you know, about the guys that love going
you
for
love
it.
Those.
No, just don't. And Vic Fangio was talking about Baltimore. You know, Baltimore loves to go for it.
Yeah.
And Fangio said 2 years ago, Baltimore lost three games. And in every game, they would go for it and get it. And everybody would say how great it was. And in the three games they lost, all three times that they lost, they failed to convert big fourth downs or two-point conversions. And Fangio said something along the lines of, everybody likes it, but then you're going home because you couldn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that we've been playing football for 100 years. People like going up by 8 points. I don't. That, like, now all of a sudden, well, people are, gotta go for it.
It's fun
go.
When you make it.
Oh, it's a blast
it's
when you make it.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Everybody now thinks it's a good idea. If they hadn't gotten it yesterday, Indy tied the game, won in overtime, everybody would have said, well, that was terrible. What was he doing? And I'm a straight shooter. If I don't like it and you do it and it works, I still don't like it. I still don't like it because it was, in my opinion, a bad decision. 615-737-1025. Joel up next here on Stillman & Company on Reaction Monday. Go ahead, Joel.
Yes, I was wondering your thought on this. Do you think – I'm glad we won, by the way, but do you think it was dumb on the Colts end when they was driving the ball, you know, basically almost to the end zone, did they stop running the ball? Because it's like, you know, they got like two or fourth down conversions just running the ball straight up the middle on us. It's like, why did they stop running the ball when they probably could have just got a touchdown? Thank God they stopped. But I was just curious of your thoughts on that.
Thank you for your call, Joel. Let me say this. Mm-hmm. I have not rewatched the game. I cannot believe that Jonathan Taylor got 10 carries yesterday.
Why?
Their quarterback can't move. He's the best player on their offense, the best skill player.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best skill player on their offense. He averaged 6 yards a carry yesterday, and he touched it 10 times. I think that's just so stupid.
I mean, going into the game, I thought it was going to be handed off to Jonathan Taylor on every single snap.
It wasn't like the Titans ran away with the game and they had to throw the whole time.
No.
It was a rock fight. That's what you wanted. And Jonathan Taylor averaged 6.4 yards per carry. And he only got 10 carries. And I just thought that was just bad coaching. I thought that was bad. I thought that was bad. And I've seen some bad coaching in my life. And I thought that was bad coaching by Frank Reich.
I think it's bad to give him only 10 touches, even with a healthy quarterback.
True.
Because you see your running back going off for, like you said, 6.4 yards per carry. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Could you imagine if Derrick Henry touched the ball 10 times, Titans lost the game to the Colts?
Oh, I'd be pissed.
Oh, my goodness. 615-737-1025. We'll get back to your calls. Coming up next, though, Julio, what do we make of that? Vrabel tried to clarify it today, but what did he make of it? We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman & Company, we're live from the Bode Hotel, downtown Nashville. Swing on by. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming the Game Nashville app.